Phil Grotenheis, pastor of the Phoenix United Reformed Church. The program you're about to hear champions the good news of Jesus Christ. A man named Abraham Kuyper once said, "There's not one square inch of all of created reality where Christ does not say, 'It's mine, it belongs to me.'" Well, if all things belong to Christ, then all things must point to his preeminence. And that's what the program Abounding Grace does. It points us in the direction of God's abounding grace and Christ's preeminence over all things. We're glad that you've joined us today, and we trust that you'll receive a blessing as you listen to this program. If you find that this program resonates with you in some way, we invite you to worship with us. Our Sunday morning worship begins at 9:30, and our afternoon worship begins at 5:30. You can find out more about us on the web at phoenixurc.org. Now, let's listen to Pastor Chris Gordon and Abounding Grace.
An antidote to our days of famine. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Grateful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio and Pastor Chris Gordon of Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. Always thankful to bring these radio broadcasts to you. Let me begin with this today on Abounding Grace. There is no doubt that we all want desperately a vibrant Christian life. We desire to see something real. We desire something powerful. We want to see it in us and in our children, and we want it in our churches, don't we? We all want this because everyone knows today that in their own hearts and even in their own life and church life, often things don't feel very powerful. Shouldn't there be more? Shouldn't our experiences be different? And is there really something more out there that maybe we've missed? We're always kind of looking over the fence, aren't we? Because everyone seems to be offering something different. And over there, it seems like a whole lot more is happening. You ever feel this? We ebb and we flow in life, don't we? There are ups and downs, dry periods, droughts, and then periods of rain. Churches ebb and flow. And everyone today is sort of offering an answer to keep things watered, right? What do we do? Something has to be done. So everyone today is on this quest for spiritual vitality. That desire, of course, isn't bad. We all want life. We all want excitement. We all want to see response, change, energy, people excited, especially our young people. I remember when I was a child, those commercials for Oldsmobile were out there. Remember those years ago? They were going through a real crisis and no one was buying their cars. They said, well, we've got to do something and we've got to do it fast. And so the pitch was clear. If we can produce more cutting-edge Oldsmobiles, maybe we can save our market in our cars. The interesting thing was, is who was buying them? I remember my grandma came home with one that year. It was the Sport Coupe. It was teal. In trying to reach out to the younger generation, ironically, it was the grandmas who shared Oldsmobile's vision, the late baby boomers, and trying to be something they weren't, Oldsmobile just couldn't cut it, and in 2004, Oldsmobile died. That, of course, is the world of consumerism, always trying to stay on top through what we offer to make what we sell exciting. And sadly, we face the same pressure today in the church. Many have bought into a whole different kind of model of ministry to keep things relevant and hip. So what do? Do we blot out the denominational names on the signs, you know, to take off the formal name and reinvent? We want a new label on the product, don't we? What do we need? Do we need more programs? How do we recover? This has been a burden for me about the church today. I'm not sure there's any passage better than Nehemiah 8 that will help us to understand these things and to answer the single great question of what has God chosen to bless? Where is their life and vitality? And what is the reason God decides to bless a church with this kind of life that we are often pursuing in anything and everything else? What is it? It's very simple. It's always been one thing, dear listener. It's a confidence in the Word of God and an honoring of that Word as the centerpiece of the church. Let me say that again. A confidence in the Word of God as a centerpiece of that church. If that changes, and you see it by the emphases today, so goes the church. This is why the writers of Scripture were constantly telling us, just hold on to what you have. I mean, Paul told Timothy, you continue in the things that you have learned and been assured of. Don't go in another direction. Many of our heritages faced this. They had to stand against an entire aesthetic religion in the time of the Reformation, in Roman Catholicism, the buildings, the architecture, the beauty. They were cutting edge with their buildings, their music, their chants, their icons, their statues. The Protestant Reformation was all about breaking away from this and returning to what was simple, Christ-edifying, God-glorifying worship. Now, what a challenge that was. What built such a conviction, dear listener? Today, I want to go back to Nehemiah chapter 8 and have you look at this. And I want us always to remember this. I suppose I could sum up everything that I'm saying today on Abounding Grace with this statement. Spirituality utterly diminishes when interest in the Bible diminishes. Let there be a love for the Word of God, sincerely giving our hearts and our minds to hear whatever that Word says. This place, that church, will flourish for years to come. Let's jump into Nehemiah 8 today. At this point in Nehemiah, all of the building work had come to an end. Remember the history here. Judah had been hauled off to Babylon. For years, God had raised up all of these prophets for his own people. And you know, they wouldn't hear the word. They wanted smooth prophets who had great stories. They were smooth guys. They were nice guys. They told them only what they wanted to hear. God is love. God's not going to judge sin. And they gave them only messages of love and peace. By the way, does this sound familiar today? We are so attracted just to some nice guy who says things nicely and who never would speak about judgment. God came and warned against these false smooth prophets. In the book of Amos, he warned, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of the hearing of the words of the Lord. Turn from your ways, said the prophets. Hear me." And they kept saying, "The temple, the temple, the temple, not this land. You're not going to judge us, the covenant people." And God would send these prophets, Jeremiah, into the temple ground to herald judgment proclamations against God's people because they wouldn't listen to the word. They were heaping up for themselves teachers, and they never believed it was for them. And so lo and behold, God carried them all away to Babylon. It was a horrific time as the entire nation was burned to the ground and the people carried off. Remember what the prophet Hosea said, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." The prophets prophesy lies, right? The priests teach in their own authority. "My people love this stuff," said the prophets. Well, in Nehemiah chapter 8, we have come to the time of their return from the land of Babylon. They come back. The houses are all ashes. The temple has been destroyed. And here's the remnant. There's always a remnant. And the Lord loves his remnant. His spirit has again come upon them. So here's the scene. The work is done. The wall has been constructed. The wall has been completed. They're back. I mean, this is just an amazing moment. Can you imagine all of us being hauled off to, let's say, some country like China, and we come back and everything that we once knew, our homes, our country has totally been demolished. We're looking at it for the first times. All of it had been ripped away. Can you imagine? What do you think they started saying? What happened? Why didn't we listen to the Lord? The desire of their hearts was their home, the land. And so here they were. They had been so busy getting their work done. They wanted to get to this point of rebuilding, and now a sense of completion has occurred. And you're at the moment, really here in Nehemiah 8, of one of the greatest letdowns and greatest moments of discourage possible. Why? Well, I've learned this about the Christian life. Sometimes we work so hard for things, so hard to get somewhere, to do something, so hard to complete something. And upon that moment of completion, there's a sense of being without direction. You see, something was still lacking in the life of God's people. And we find it in chapter 8, that it wasn't the building project. It wasn't the great and glorious buildings that needed renewed. I suppose you could make some kind of application of that today. It's not the brand new parking lots. It's not the youth center. It's not the jumpy things for the kids. It's not all the new buildings and the youth center and the areas and the shopping mall mentality that we need renewed, right? I mean, that's not it. Chapter 8 of Nehemiah is all about revitalizing the community spiritually. They were in need of major spiritual renewal. They had been in a lull for over 70 years, hauled off to Babylon. Now, what a moment, dear listener. Where do you begin? What would you begin with? What would be your plan? These chapters present to us a people who had lost everything. Here they are. Many of their loved ones have been killed. They have nothing. And now a remnant is back in the land. It's time for what? They need to listen to the word of the Lord again. They need to start taking his word seriously. So here we are in verse 1. When the seventh month came, the children of Israel were in their cities. Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. Now you can't read this without being deeply touched by the fact of who is now asking for what? Ezra, bring the word of God. Would you just read it to us? This hunger had filled the hearts of the people to hear from the Lord. In the previous chapter, you know, we're told 42,360 had gathered in the open square. For years, they had not heard the word of God. And you know what was happening, dear listener? Now the word of God was burning within them. You see, what we have in front of us today in Nehemiah 8 is something beautiful, but rare, isn't it? The whole nation had been under famine. They didn't hear the word of God. They were warned. But instead, they wanted the prophets who gave them smooth words. And with flattering speech, they would say, peace, peace. They were unwilling to hear about the need for repentance in them. And as they went on with their prosperous lives, now, all of a sudden, a remnant is back. So God carried them away because of these flattering messages of peace, peace. They wouldn't listen. They wouldn't repent. And God carried them away. But now they're back. Their materialism, their homes, their riches, it's all destroyed. Kind of doesn't fit the health and wealth prosperity gospel today, does it? It doesn't fit that at all. What did the people want? What had they learned? Finally, what became the longing of their hearts was the word of God. Oh, how they wanted that word. Isn't that what we read here? They all came together. Give us the word, Ezra. You know, Martin Luther King had a dream years ago. Everyone knows that speech. I have a dream. You know, I have a dream. I have a dream for Escondido, where I pastor. I have a dream for San Diego. You know what my dream is? Can I have a dream, dear listener? I have a dream. My dream is the whole town of Escondido, the whole city of San Diego, comes together under the Word of God. And again, now there's an intense hunger for the Word of God. It's not for the programs. It's not for the dramas. It's not for the music. It's not for the entertainment. We are entertained to death in this culture. You know that the word amusement means to not think, right? We are not thinking in this culture 6 days a week. But on the Lord's Day, I have a dream that people would say, "Give us the Word of God pure and simple, oh pastor. Give me that book. Just preach to me the Word of God without compromise. Tell me whatever it says. I want to hear what God says. We're tired of the gimmicks. We're tired of the shows. We're tired of the cheap spirituality. We need something real." This is John on the island of Patmos in Revelation 10. "So I went to the angel and said to him, 'Give me the little book.' And he said to me, 'Take and eat it. And it will make your stomach bitter, but it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth.'" Oh, give me that book. And that's exactly what we have here. In verse 2, "So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women, and all who could hear with understanding the first day of the seventh month. Trumpets would be blown." It was a day of heralding, wasn't it? "Then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday, before the men and women and those who can understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law." What a moment. 42,000 gather strong. And listen, from morning until midday, they simply listened and heard the Word of God read. Finally, a time had come when their ears were attentive. And you know, they weren't reading easy stuff. They were reading Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and the Pentateuch. And they had such care to hear the Word of the Lord. Notice in verse 5 of Nehemiah 8, "Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God." What a scene. Isn't this just a beautiful scene? What I want you to notice is, and this is so important for today, they were all one. Notice this men and women and children, all with understanding. Who was that? Listen to Deuteronomy 31. "Gather the people together, men and women and little ones, and the stranger who is within your gates, that they may hear and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God, and to carefully observe all the words of this law, and that their children who've not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live, as long as you live in the land which you cross the Jordan to possess." Did you hear that? Bring your children into worship. Bring them in. Isn't it sad that we have adopted in this country something in worship where we send the children out, and we send them out. Maybe they get a little Bible lesson, but usually it's play time, jump time, throw the ball time. And isn't it interesting that the Lord would say, bring your children who've not known it, who've not heard, who've not trained. One of the things we have to remember is we're training them for the future to sit and listen to the Word of God. If you know, every single denomination today, every single church is fighting with their young people leaving. Let me ask this question. This whole children's church thing started when I was a kid. Don't you think the church has trained them to leave at a young age? Are we training them that big people's church is not for them? You see, I have a big burden for this today, because Because we believe, if we believe the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, it can break and penetrate a child's heart. And so the Lord was commanding Israel here, because that same mentality had prevailed for years. Bring your children back. Bring them to worship. They can understand this. I've always been amazed at what children understand from the sermons. I had an experience with this years ago when they asked a bunch of children, they surveyed what was the favorite part of worship. And everyone expected them to say cookies and playtime. And the children who had been trained to sit in worship and listen to the Word of God, they all unanimously said the preaching of the Word. Makes me weep today that we take them out. So here they are. Notice, it's not separated out according to age group. They are families. They're one. There is one people. And here they read the Word of God from morning until midday, hours upon hours of listening to the Word. They weren't worried about the time. These people stood for a five-hour reading sermon. And what this all demonstrated, dear listener, is that the eyes of their hearts were as one, and they were finally open to hear the Word of God. The Spirit of God again was moving among them. What a scene. What respect for the Word. When the Word was brought in, they rose up and there was trembling. They understood that God Himself was speaking to them. You know, it's still customary in the Scottish churches that when a service begins, a man called the Beadle carries the Bible into the service and he places it on the church's pulpit and he opens to that day's passage, and then they escort the minister in. And as this is going on, the people will rise up and remain standing until the minister is positioned behind the pulpit, which is designed to show and to teach those who have come to worship that the minister is on assignment from the Lord to expound that word as he stands behind it, as the word is lifted up high above the people. You know, I just pray today, dear listener, the reason I'm going through this on Abounding Grace is everything has become so casual and everything has become so light, and everything that we do is filled with entertainment and stories, and we're not penetrating deeply anymore to people's hearts and consciences. There's no sense anymore that when we gather for worship, we are coming to sit under this powerful Word of God that is able to save us from our sins, as it is exposited by God's servant in the demonstration of the Spirit and a power. God is actually saving by that means. But when we don't have confidence in that, when we cast that aside and we look to make it entertainment-driven worship, there's no blessing of the Lord from that. We've merely had our ears tickled, as the apostle said. We need a recovery of sitting under the Word, because it's there that we meet the Savior God has announced to the whole world, by which people can be saved from their sins. His name is Jesus Christ. And God has said, whosoever believes in Jesus Christ will not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's get back to that message. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are a listener-supported program, and we humbly ask both for your prayerful and financial support. You can write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, L-Y-N-D-E-N, 98264, agradio.org is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
About God's grace and how it impacts your life, I invite you to worship with us. We're a church committed to God's generous grace and the reformational perspective you hear on this program. Our morning worship is at 9:30, and our afternoon worship is at 5:30. I also invite you to check us out on the web at phoenixurc.org. Again, that's phoenixurc.org. God bless you as you continue to tune into Abounding Grace and the teaching ministry of Pastor Chris Gordon.